Let's turn now to Proverbs chapter 15. We've been working our way through Proverbs over the last 8 years, actually. And we are at Proverbs 15, 24. 15:24. The way of life is above to the wise, that he may depart from hell beneath. Now, the last time that we met, that I began examining this verse, which we did, I told you at the end that we were, the next time we met, which is today, that we were going to focus upon three words in this verse, the way of life. And that being said, I would like you to turn to John chapter 14. John chapter 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Now it was interesting this morning, I mentioned to Paul that in both he and my prayer this morning, we quoted this verse in verse 14:6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So by way of introduction, looking at these verses here, to understand these verses, it's necessary to keep in mind the connection that we have here. If you'll keep your finger here and turn to John 13, 36, just over the page, just back a page. 13:36, Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. Peter had asked the Lord, where are you going? Whither goest thou? And when Christ replied, whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. Peter said, why can't I follow you now? Both of these questions of Peter, which probably expressed the thoughts of all the apostles, were answered by the Lord in these verses which we are looking at in 14. 14:6. And in this answer, it is as though, and I'm going to be making several quotes throughout this message, both this morning and this evening. You'll hear from John Brown, you'll hear from Matthew Poole, Matthew Henry, John Calvin, J.C. Ryle, and A.W. Pink. These have all been my counselors in preparing this message for today. Starting off with a a quote from John Brown. He says, it is as if the Lord is saying, you are troubled in spirit because you know not whither I go. And because I have said you cannot follow me now, I am going to my Father, to his house of many mansions. Let not therefore these fears about me distress you. And as you are following me, as to the reason why you cannot follow me now, and as to the way in which you are to follow me hereafter, know that arrangements must be made for your coming to where I'm going. I go to make these arrangements, and when they are completed, I will come and take you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. That is whither I am going. That is the reason why you do not go with me or follow me now. That is the way in which you are afterwards to come where I am going. Matthew Poole says of this, it is pleasant to notice how Christ continueth his discourse with his disciples. He says that it's like a mother speaking to a little child that is crying after her when she prepares to go somewhere. The child cries and the mother bids it to be still, for she is only going to a friend's house. It still cries. She tells it she is only going to prepare a place there for the child there, where it will be much happier than at home. The child is still not satisfied. She tells it again that though she goes, she will come again, and then the child will go with her, and she will never part from the child anymore. The child is yet impatient. She endeavoreth to still it, telling it that that the child knoweth, does not know whither it she goes now, but it will know the way and will at another time come to be with her. The whither that is mentioned here in verse 5 is unto the Father. The way is actually the process by which they would arrive there. It was not simply a goal, but a path. Not simply the whither, but the how, which Christ had just revealed to them. In verse 5, Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Our Lord had spoken very simply and very plainly, and yet he was misunderstood by Thomas. The Father, he was misunderstood about the Father, about his house, and about the mansions. Christ is going there to prepare a place, and his promise is to come and receive his people unto himself and to share that place with him. These things were not at all easily understood by Thomas. His mind was on earthly things. Father's house to him meant some palace that might have been situated outside of Palestine. And so, was Christ going away? Was his going away merely to signify that he was going to this palace? And that's when we come to verse 6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way. This is a very important part, a very important point in understanding these verses that are before us. Before sin entered into the world, and this is where we need to get to at the basis of all of this. Before sin entered into the world, Adam enjoyed a threefold privilege in relationship to God. He was in communion with his Maker, he knew him, and he possessed spiritual life. But if you'll turn back to Genesis chapter 2, because this is the whole basis of what we're looking at here, that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Does that really mean anything to us? What is the significance of that? In Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, and the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. God gave one commandment. The commandment was very simply, obey me and live, disobey me and die. When he disobeyed and fell, this threefold relationship at that point with God was severed. He became alienated from God as the hiding of himself and the making of fig leaves for aprons would show us. He was no longer capable of perceiving the truth. And he no longer had spiritual life. For God's threat, in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die, was strictly enforced. In this same awful condition has each of Adam's descendants. And each of Adam's descendants are you and me. This is how we have entered into the world. We have entered into the world as sinners in need of a Savior. John 3:6. John chapter 3, verse 6. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. When we are born into this life, that is the reference here of being born in the flesh. That is being, the flesh is the flesh. That is being born into this life. But being born of the Spirit is something else altogether again. A fallen parent, which Adam was our first father, a fallen parent or a sinful parent can bring forth nothing but a fallen or sinful child. Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Who does that include? That includes everyone. Rich, poor, it makes no difference. Everyone has come short of the glory of God. And every sinner, therefore, has a threefold need. They need to be reconciled, they need to be illuminated, and they need to be regenerated. And this threefold need is perfectly met by the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the way to the Father. He is the truth actually incarnate. And He is the life to all that believe. He is the way, He is the truth, and He is the life. Now, one thing more. By way of introduction here, that might be noted, that's stated by Matthew Poole in relationship to Thomas. Matthew Poole says that disciples often know more than they suppose they do or admit that they do, but do not use their knowledge or keep it ready for use. And I thought that was very interesting. In other words, if you have been born again, if you are one of the Lord Jesus' elect, you really know more than you think you know. But because of our sinful nature, we don't always have it ready to be used. Another commentator puts it like this. He says that it's like infants that are lying in their cradles who have fathers and fortunes, but they don't know it. Mr. Trapp says, we are like people who hunt for our keys and purses when they have got them in their pockets. In other words, we have those truths with us and we're not using them. They're not ready for our use. That in itself should stir us up to be more thoughtful to the things of God and to call those things to our remembrance. Now let's begin looking at this. John 14, 6. Jesus saith unto him, unto Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I am the way. Number one. Four words, but precious absolutely beyond compare. I am the way. Christ actually does not reply directly to the question that he was asked by Thomas, but neither does he leave anything out that is going to be useful. Jesus does not explain what his future with the Father would be, but he emphasizes what is more necessary. We are like Thomas's. We're full of questions and speculations about life after death and the things that would just fill our minds. But here we see the Lord Jesus direct his thoughts to things which are of much greater importance. So what he is saying is this: whoever obtains Christ lacks nothing. And therefore, whoever is not satisfied with Christ alone is striving after something way beyond perfection, and the end of that will be that they lose all. So to obtain Christ is to lack nothing. To not be satisfied with Christ alone is to lack everything and to lose all in the end. So it's as if the Lord is setting 3 degrees here. As if he were saying that he is the beginning, he is the middle, and he is the end. Therefore, we should begin with him, we should continue with him, and we should end with him. And that all of this is to be found in him, in Christ himself. Matthew Henry says that by the Lord's doctrine and example, he teaches us our duty by his merit, and intercession procures our happiness. And so the Lord Jesus Christ is the way. He is the way. He's not a way. He is the way. The only way. Christ spans the distance between God and the sinner. But the natural man would try and make his own ladder to heaven. He would try and do it by his own means, by his own resolutions, the things that he's going to be resolved to do, by his own reformations, the things that he's going to try and reform in his own life, by his own prayers, by his own tears. He's going to try everything apart from Christ alone to climb up to God and to reach ultimately heaven at the end. But it's impossible. Based on the Word of God, if you believe the Word of God to be the Word of God as the truth, it is impossible. We cannot do it on our own. It is only the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews 11:6. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Proverbs 14:12. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And in relationship to what I just said, trying to make our own ladder, trying to make our own resolutions and the reformings that we make in our life and the things that we do, it's all about us when that's the case. It's all about something that I'm trying to do. While in coming to the Lord, it's all about the Lord. It's all about the Lord Jesus and not about ourselves. It's Satan. It's the devil that would keep us and keep all sinners upon this self-designed journey to God. In other words, how many of you have heard, there's many ways to the Lord? Look at this person over here and this person over here. They can all seek the Lord and they're just so sincere. Sincerity, there's nothing about sincerity taking you to heaven. A man can be sincerely wrong and go straight to hell. What faith needs is to lay hold of this glorious truth that Christ has come all the way down from heaven, taken upon Himself a body. John chapter 1 comes to my mind right now. John chapter 1 verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. God manifest in the flesh, in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. The sinner cannot come to God, but God in the person of His Son The Lord Jesus Christ has come down to sinners. As we read just a little further down in John 1:10, He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood. It is not something that is inherited. Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh. It is not something that you're going to, in and of yourself, will and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the way. He is the way to the Father. He is the way to heaven. He is the way to eternal blessedness. And without Christ, men and women are as Cain's, wanderers. Romans 3:12. They are all gone out of the way. They are all together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. In and of ourselves, there's not one of us that does any good. You've never done a good deed. You've never thought a good thought in the eyes of God, because you were born a sinner apart from God. And until that condition is changed, you are always apart from God. If it is never changed, then we live to be, as Methuselah, 969 years old. If you die apart from Christ, you lose all, and you lose all for all eternity. Christ is not merely our guide who came to show men a path in which they ought to walk. He is Himself the way to the Father. He is the way. If you're trying to describe the way, it is a person. Not a thing. He is the way. Christ is the door. He is the ladder. He is the road that we need to approach unto God. This is but the first point that we're looking at this morning. I am the way. We will begin looking this evening at the truth and the life. Shall we pray, please? Heavenly Father, thank You, O Lord, for the description of Yourself that You gave to Thomas of Yourself. By this question, that is somewhat of an irrelevant question that Thomas is asking, by this little question that is asked, comes this profound answer that You gave. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man, no woman, no boy, no girl cometh unto the Father but by Me. Thank You, Lord, for Your precious, precious word, the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. In Jesus' name, Amen.